This is Radio Slovakia International.
Coming to you from Bratislava.
We are with you every day.
With the latest news,
features,
and information
about life in Slovakia,
in the very heart of Europe.
Dobry večer, or good evening from Radio Slovakia International. My name is Pete Miller, and I will be your host for this special edition of Slovakia Today. We're broadcasting on shortwave and World Radio Network by satellite, as usual from Bratislava, the capital of the Slovak Republic. Bratislava, with a population approaching 450,000, straddles the River Danube on the western border of the country of Slovakia. The Austrian capital, Vienna, is only an hour's drive away, and Vienna Airport, the arrival point for so many to this country, is only 40 minutes away. Although one has to say that Bratislava Airport is growing in popularity, with daily flights from many European destinations, including three UK airports. Slovakia itself covers an area of just over 49,000 square kilometres, with a population approaching 5.5 million. It may be a small country in terms of the world shakers and movers, but it is a beautiful country scenically and also has many interesting traditions and cultural aspects. This will be very evident in today's programme. Today is Good Friday, or as they say in Slovakia, Veľký piatok. As in so many parts of the Christian world, today is a public holiday, and as I repeat from time to time, we do well to remember that the word holiday in English comes from the two words, holy and day. Today, being one of the most holy of days, there are many special services in the Slovak churches as Christians meditate on the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. Today is also a day of fasting, which is strictly adhered to by the faithful. This, as I have said before, is a tradition that I am not used to and struggle with, although those who know me say I need to fast for more than just one day. So, Good Friday is the Friday before Easter Sunday and commemorates the day on which Jesus was crucified and finally buried in a garden tomb in Jerusalem. In the Catholic churches, the crucifixes are covered, the altar is stripped bare, and all candles removed. The churches therefore seem very bare and empty. There is then the great contrast on Easter Sunday morning as the churches resound to the exclamation, "He is risen." Last autumn, a new pastor, David Schick, with his wife Carla, arrived at the English-speaking Lutheran Church here in Bratislava. Last Friday, I spoke with David and began by asking if Easter was, like Christmas, one of the busy times of the year for him.
Absolutely, yes. Those are the two high points of the year in just about any church.
And what extra services do you have at Easter?
Well, here at our congregation in Bratislava, we'll have two extra services during the week. One on Thursday evening, which we call Maundy Thursday, a recognition of Christ's first celebration of the Lord's Supper with his disciples. Good Friday, we'll celebrate a service which, of course, remembers the crucifixion. And then we have a service Sunday morning for Easter itself.
Now, why is Easter, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday so important for Christians?
Well, Good Friday and, of course, Easter together with it focuses Christian people onto the central point of human history. It reminds us of this incredibly important thing that took place in our world, in which God in Christ comes and shares in our suffering. In the cross, we believe and experience the fact that God has suffered with us, God has cried with us, God knows human pain, and therefore God is not far from us. It tells me that suffering is not meaningless, because by joining us in our suffering, God has affirmed our humanity and our worth as human beings. God has come that close to us that he would share in our lowest moments as humans.
Are there any sort of traditions within the Lutheran denomination that are sort of particularly, how can I put it, denominational, I suppose?
I don't know if everything we do would be unique to us. Typically on Thursday night we have maybe a somewhat more intimate celebration of the Lord's Supper, trying to sort of recreate and re-experience that experience that Jesus had with his disciples in the upper room that night before he died. On the Good Friday celebration itself, typically we use the themes of light and darkness. Very often we'll start with a number of candles lit on the altar and then put them out one by one as we read through the story of Christ's passion, suffering, and crucifixion. I find the visual symbolism as well as the story and the hymns that we use for that occasion very meaningful. It's probably about my favorite service of the year. Even though it's somewhat plaintive and sad, it's very beautiful, and as I was saying already, it really touches my humanity. I think it's an irresistible story.
It's interesting that as one goes around so many of the Slovak churches, the frescoes and the visual aspect of the faith is very real in this country, I think.
Yes, it is. I'm just getting acquainted with it myself. I've only been here since the beginning of November, still getting to know this city and this country. But yeah, the visual aspect, I think, is very important for people here. And the church in which we celebrate, in which we hold our services, is called the Mali Kostel, the little chapel that belongs to the Lutheran church here in town. It is a beautifully decorated church with some wonderful paintings and carvings, and it really gives you a sense of the history and the story of Christ as you're worshiping in that space.
You mentioned that you haven't been here all that long. Where have you come from?
The last church I served was in Anaheim, California, and I lived there for almost 12 years. California is actually my home, and the weather is quite different from here, although lately it's warmed up quite a bit here in Bratislava, very surprisingly. But it was a great place to serve. That's pretty much where my kids grew up, and we had a congregation there called Lamb of God Lutheran Church.
You mentioned the winter, and winter here, I always think, is quite long, but then ends suddenly, which it certainly has done the last few days. How have you found the cold?
I got along with it okay, because it was just so unique, such a new experience, that I'm sort of still going around with stars in my eyes going, wow, to everything I see. And the winter was just sort of this unique experience with the snow falling. I found it kind of beautiful, but obviously I had to bundle up a whole lot more than I did back in California.
Are you into skiing or any of the winter sports?
I love skiing. I didn't get to go this winter. I hope to be able to do it next winter.
Well, you're not too late yet. You know, skiing goes on in this country till May.
You know, I can believe that, because just 2 weekends ago, I led a retreat up in the Liptovský Mikuláš area, and it was unbelievable how much snow there is there compared to here. It was beautiful and very tempting. I didn't have time to get out ski myself, but I do hope to do it.
Pastor Schick and his wife Carla have recorded some songs, and so I thought it would be interesting to follow the interview with this rendition entitled Trinity. Recently, I was given a CD with sacred music by a group calling themselves Chrysostomos, and I've been playing extracts from the CD in the programme today. Earlier this week, I spoke with Martin Scovira, who is the choir's musical director and conductor. I began my chat by asking when the choir was founded.
The choir was founded in 1992, basically. The purpose was to found a choir whose main purpose would be liturgical singing during the liturgical services of Byzantine Catholic Church or Greek Catholic Church. That was the purpose.
The name of the choir is Chrysostomos.
I think there are at least two different reasons for that. One of them is that St. John the Chrysostom is thought to be the author of one of the liturgies which are of common use in the Byzantine Church, that is, in Orthodox and Greek Catholic Church. So this is one of the reasons which indicates the main purpose of the choir, to serve the liturgy. And there is another, maybe, it's the meaning of the word Chrysostomos, which means golden mouth. Of course, in connection with St. John, it means that he was considered a person who speaks wise words. In our case, we would like that it would mean that we are singing nice music, good music.
Well, certainly, having listened to the CD, I would agree that it is golden sounds coming from the mouth.
It has been quite a pleasure to listen to the CD and to pick out the music for today's programme. I wanted to know from Martin Scoviera if the choir just sings sacred music.
It is music of Byzantine liturgy. Basically, it's just that. I mean, there are not many other pieces of music, but there are some which we sing besides the liturgy. There is so much work with this, and we want to have a very large repertory for our liturgy, that there is basically no time that we can afford for studying music which otherwise can be sung by other choirs.
So how often do you practice?
Unfortunately, just once a week on Sunday morning. This is a typical problem with every amateur choir. It's very difficult to bring people together and to force them to work hard. So we have our rehearsals every Sunday morning, just before the liturgy.
How many members are there in the choir?
The average would be about 30 people. When we prepare for a public concert, it may come closer even to 40 people, but normally it's around 30. Members of our choir are, for the most part, students who come to Bratislava from Eastern Slovakia and have Greek Catholic background, and local Greek or Roman Catholic people who are interested in Byzantine church chant, in the beauty of liturgical singing. And these people from Bratislava usually come with the whole families.
Now, you mentioned that obviously it's in Eastern Slovakia where there is the strongest tradition for the Greek Catholic tradition. So I have to ask you, because my wife will want to know this, where do you come from yourself in Eastern Slovakia?
Well, I was born in the Czech Republic, and my father is a Greek Catholic priest who was expelled during the 50s to the Czech part of country of Czechoslovakia. So I was born there. But my father comes from Vernar, which is close to Poprad, and it's the westmost part of what could be called the Greek Catholic region in Slovakia.
Which composers are favorites with the choir?
Difficult question. If you look at our CDs, something is reflected by our CD, not everything. Very much is determined by my own personal taste, because I'm basically the person who selects the repertoire of the choir. Well, my favorite composers are those of roughly the turn of 19th and 20th century, the time when there was sort of explosion of creativity in this area in Russia, partially in Serbia and in Bulgaria. For instance, one of the composers which can be said to be favorite of our people is Tchaikovsky. It's maybe not so well known, but he composed several very nice pieces for liturgy. And there are other composers of this period, for instance, Rimsky-Korsakov. I like his liturgical pieces very, very much. I like Rachmaninov, but Kastalsky, not very well-known composer. Master of Russian liturgical music, is one of my favorite composers, and he is also represented on our CD.
I noticed that a number of the pieces on your CD are in what I call Staroslovensky, Why do you use this old language?
This language is properly called the Old Church Slavonic, or Church Slavonic language. This is a language which is used by Slavonic, mainly Orthodox or Byzantine or Greek Catholic communities. It is a language whose only purpose is the use in the liturgy. And this language is traditional liturgical language in Eastern Slovakia, so this is one of the reasons why we sing in this language. Another reason, which I consider to be very important in the present time, although this language seems to be sort of obsolete now, the second reason is that this is the common language which connects us with, say, Russian church, Bulgarian church, Serbian church, with all Slavic, Ukrainian, of course, our neighbor, with all these Slavic nations who use Byzantine liturgy.
And of course, history tells us that this was the language that Cyril and Methodius used, or something close to it.
Yeah, this is more accurate, I think, because the present form of this language was formed maybe in 17th century. Of course, the language, which was brought here by the Holy Brothers Cyril and Methodius, was precursor of this language.
At this point, we'd better listen to a piece in the old Slavonic language. It is entitled, "We Bow to Your Cross, O Lord, and We Praise Your Holy Resurrection." I also wanted to know if the choir would be singing over the Easter weekend.
Oh, yes. Well, this is the main Christian feast, and, of course, it is necessary that we are there.
So you'll be singing Good Friday and Easter Sunday?
We will sing not very much on Good Friday, but on Easter Sunday we will sing the whole liturgy.
Why is the tradition to sing unaccompanied, a cappella?
This is a good question. This is one of typical properties of Eastern chant, that it is sung unaccompanied. Well, what is the reason for that? Eastern churches, including the Orthodox Church, including the Byzantine Catholic Church, these churches value their old traditions very highly. And one of these old traditions is unaccompanied singing, which goes maybe to the 3rd, 2nd century. And the reason is that Eastern Church decided that unaccompanied singing is best suited for the church. There are several reasons for that. For instance, one of the reasons is that this unaccompanied singing is intended to represent singing of the angelic choirs. That's one reason. The second reason is that instrumental music at that time was quite characteristic for services of non-Christian religions, and they wanted to make a clear difference between Christian singing and non-Christian singing. So this is the second reason. And the third reason is that singing in Eastern churches is considered to be one of the best forms of prayer, and it is impossible for a musical instrument to pray. It's only possible for a man. And that's why this unaccompanied singing. I think these are the main reasons, but you can invent maybe other reasons.
I know one of the things that I have come to appreciate is that in the little village my wife comes from, and we'll be there this Easter, is the unaccompanied singing, because even in a tiny little village, the harmonies and everything that come out in the singing, I think is just magnificent.
Yes, people with the tradition, with Byzantine tradition, know how to sing in, I would say, natural polyphony. And this is fantastic thing if you come and listen to this experience. It's hard to describe. One has to try and see and hear.
I'm sure that as the choir sing out the litany, it will certainly be greatly appreciated.
This is Radio Slovakia International.
Yes, you are listening to Radio Slovakia International, coming to you from Bratislava, the capital of the Slovak Republic. For me, one of the very interesting things about living in a foreign country is to experience the different customs, and there are many customs associated with the Easter weekend, as my colleagues have been explaining in their programmes. Some of the customs are very much connected with the Christian tradition, others very loosely connected. Some seem very strange to Western liberated minds, but it is for Slovaks to determine their customs and traditions, not us from the West to try and influence the culture here. This Easter time we will be travelling out to Eastern Slovakia, and I'm sure we will also be taking part in the traditions that have become so special for me in the Greek Catholic Church in the little village of Rafaelce in Eastern Slovakia. I confess that I had never heard of the Greek Catholics with their traditions before coming to this country, but have enjoyed experiencing their form of worship, although not understanding completely all that is said and done. During the Good Friday service, a tapestry bearing the image of the dead crucified Christ will be carried out from the church and around the building before being laid reverently back in the church. It is very much like a funeral procession as the villagers mourn the death of Christ. This is done to the accompaniment of wood striking wood, not by the pealing of the church bells. Over the weekend until Easter Sunday morning, villagers will take turns keeping vigil day and night. This mirrors what happens when someone dies in the village. The family that has suffered the loss are not left alone until the burial has taken place. Incidentally, burials usually take place very quickly, within a day, if at all possible. I well remember one year when we were there that our spell keeping vigil in the church was from 2:30 a.m. until 3:30 a.m. There was snow on the ground outside, and the church was bitterly cold. But I found it a very special and rewarding time. Mind you, I'd not want to do it every weekend. I've not heard yet if the same rota is in operation this year. Then comes the joyful Easter resurrection service. People assemble in the church just before dawn, 5 a.m. This again was a tradition that I was not used to. 5 a.m. is very early in the morning. And yet, reading the biblical account, we learn that the women went to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and found the stone rolled away. On entering the church, the dead Christ is still visible. And then, in a lovely symbolic way, the congregation leaves the church and walks around the outside of the building. When they return to the church, the body of Christ has gone, and that wonderful Easter shout is heard, "The Lord is risen," and the reply, "He is risen indeed," echoes around the church. Between Good Friday and Easter Sunday morning, the women folk in the village will be busy. Every household prepares a basket of food with such staples as salt, smoked ham, sausages, homemade butter shaped as a lamb, a kind of scrambled egg that is made into a round ball, bacon, eggs, and homemade bread known as pasca. Young girls also prepare their own smaller basket. It often contains decorated eggs and perhaps an Easter rabbit. This basket of food is taken to the second Easter service that starts at 11 a.m. I do not want to appear irreverent, but just pause a minute and imagine the smells that assail you as you sit in the church. Yes, there is the incense, but the smell of the smoked ham and sausages certainly gets the gastric juices going, especially after the time of fasting. After the service, the women and young girls line up with their baskets outside the church, and the priest passes down the row blessing the food as he sprinkles holy water. Then, with a cheery "Dobro hut," that Slovak greeting that basically means "enjoy your meal," it is then time to go home and enjoy the contents of the basket. Well, our time has just about gone, and I hope you have enjoyed what has been largely my personal recollection of Easter traditions here in Slovakia. And so, from our studios in the basement of the Upside Down Pyramid, here in Bratislava, on Veľký piatok, or Good Friday, it just remains for me to thank my colleagues for their help, and you for listening. This is Pete Miller, Dušan our technician, not forgetting Janko our music man, saying, good evening, dobrý večer.
You have been listening to Radio Slovakia International, an English language broadcast from our Bratislava studios. We hope you enjoyed the show.